I'd like for us tonight to turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Seems that the Lord, at special times, will speak to our hearts and bring something to our remembrance about something that has very special meaning to all of us, the Lord's people. And Psalm 22 was flashed before me as I was reading in the Scripture, and some things began to impress them upon my heart. I believe the Spirit of God does that, causes us to reflect. I think very often when we detect that the Lord has called our attention to something that is in Scripture, that it must be very important. And I don't have no question about the importance of what we're to speak about tonight. Because I think this psalm is a reflection upon how loving and wonderful our God is and His ministry to His people. So I want to read just the first 21 verses. Someone has divided this psalm into, several different ways. The first 21 verses are characterized as being a sob. And the latter part of it is a song, because resurrection power has been experienced, and the thoughts of all of the things that were so painful to think about. Because I think when we recognize that what God suffered for us to bring us into a meaningful relationship with Him, it was very costly. Cost God a whole lot to bring us into a relationship with Himself in which we would be called the children of God. We belong to Him. So let's read these first 21 verses, and then I'll make some comments. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he who took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's body. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn or wild oxen. Let's look to the Lord again in just a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we open our Bibles, the Word of God this evening, and we examine what you have given to us to enlighten us and to encourage our hearts, strong reminders of things that are so important to us as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We would pray that every one of us in this room will have our hearts spoken to, that the Spirit of God will be very kind and gracious in bringing to our remembrance those things that make the person of Christ near and dear to our own hearts. We are redeemed with precious blood. We are redeemed at such a cost to Thee, Lord. Grant, we pray Thee, that there will be that strong appreciation in our souls for all that You've done for us. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Well, I put this in the context of thinking about how much was involved in providing salvation for us. That brings into the picture reconciliation. We know that the one who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, He became an offering for sin, for poor sinners like you and me, who were in need of a Savior. He provided a Savior, His only begotten Son, the one that was daily His delight. Now, this was planned and purposed before even the foundations of the world were laid. This is no afterthought with God. This is a wonderful thought that is conveyed through His message. You think about the timing of this psalm. It came to David in the day and time of David. He received this divine message, inspired by the Spirit of God. It certainly goes far beyond anything in his experience as one that indeed had a lot of painful experiences in his life. But nothing that any one of us ever experiences in the way of trial and testing and sorrow is comparable to what the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in being made an offering for sin. He knew no sin. He's so uniquely different from the sons of men who were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a relationship with sin in our own experience. That's why we urge young people to trust the Savior while they're young in life before sometimes sin makes its inroads into our life and spoils and causes things to happen in our lives that they follow us all the days of our life. They're forgiven. Sometimes we have to be sure we forgive ourselves for what happened. Others may forgive us, but I have discovered there's some people that keep reflecting upon the fact that they dishonored the Lord, they disobeyed the Lord, they sinned grievously. Well, God forgave you. You're made fit for God's presence. You have the righteousness of God put to your account. You have access into the very presence of God. And you let what is a part of a past life, no matter what it might have been like, you let that spoil a relationship that God would have you thinking and meditating upon and feeding your souls upon the greatness and the wonder of God and His love and grace and what He's done for you. The past is the past. This experience that David had in having this inspired message entrusted to him, and it's recorded, and we know how to put it in the right context. Certainly, what we read about here could only, in its deepest meaning, have application to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I made that connection I was reading in Matthew's Gospel, and in that 27th chapter, it says, when he was upon the cross, from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And, you know, we say this, and I trust that it's in keeping with what God would have us to say. It seems it wasn't fair for him to be forsaken. No, it wasn't. If we're thinking in terms of fairness and what is in keeping with our own dealings with each other, it wasn't fair. That one who knew no sin, one that had no sin, one that could not sin. And yet God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. This first part of this 22nd Psalm, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He's left alone. There's abandonment here of the Father that has come to mean so much to us, and His provision for us in the person of Christ. We're encouraged from the Word of God that our God has said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The children of Israel had a similar promise to them. It was, of course, contingent upon them being obedient to the will of God. There were times when the Lord left them to themselves and to their sin. But indeed, for us to be able to say, my God will never forsake me or leave me. But from that hour upon the cross, the three darkest hours in the history of mankind, God could not be sensed in any way at all. in the soul of the Son of God, there was complete abandonment. The judgment and the wrath of God was to fall upon him that knew no sin. In order for there to be reconciliation for poor lost sinners, the likes of us, this judgment, this holy, righteous judgment, it must fall upon the sacrifice, the blood, all that was associated with sacrifices made for sin. He must experience that. And it must be recognized and approved of God the Father perfectly. And he did. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all that our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was forsaken of the Father, abandoned, hands reaching out for help. Very often, if there's help at hand, a hand will reach out and rescue and save from danger or whatever it is that is about to be experienced that is so painful. Not here. Not here. Abandoned all alone upon that cross. And then we have that description, the crying out from the soul of the Son of God. This experience of never having been forsaken of the Father before. Why have you forsaken me? You know, coming to grips, our Lord Jesus Christ, in Hebrews it says, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He identified with our humanity to the extent that he indeed suffered so much. Apart from sin, mind you. But he experienced those things so he could identify with you and me in the worst of our experiences in life. And we will never, there's nothing comparable in our lives to what he experienced. You will never feel the hand of God's judgment upon you. You'll never feel that. You will never experience that. But someone else did. And I don't have to tell you who it was. It was the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forsaken of the Father. Sin's payment must be made. Reconciling that which is so far out of touch with God. Being brought into a right relationship with God. Couldn't be accomplished any other way. We sang some songs. If there was any other way, I cannot tell, but I know at the right hand of God I have a Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He just meets that requirement that God insisted upon having, a sacrifice for sin that would perfectly satisfy divine righteousness. It's all found in this person of the Lord Jesus, the suffering Savior, that one that was willing. I'm so thankful that I think the last time I was here giving one of these little talks, we were looking at Philippians chapter 2. You know, it says, God has highly exalted him. I like to get beyond that sometimes when you're dwelling upon this in these first 21 verses and we're thinking about him being abandoned all alone and the sorrow and the grief that was there. Get beyond that. God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. The very mention of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee would bow in heaven, upon earth, and beneath the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. Lord of all. And how dare any one of us think about any other course for our lives and then, since He is my Savior, He's my Savior, He's my Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He directs me along this earthly pilgrimage. And I grow in grace and knowledge of Him and have my life enriched. And I'm able to experience in my own personal relationship with the Lord such a deep appreciation for what He's done for me. That provokes worship and praise in the heart of the believer. That brings the believer into the presence of God sometime around the communion table. And we have it there right before us. Those emblems that He selected to remind us and to cause our thought patterns to go in the direction He wants them to go, to remember Him. Remember Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, the other side of all of this, God is being justified. God is being satisfied by what is being accomplished by the Son of God. I think the third verse, "You are the holy God ruling from your throne and praised by Israel." Even in this hour of deepest woe, that recognition by that beloved Son of God, that God the Father was unerring in all that He planned and purposed in providing the salvation that we have tonight. What we have as believers in the Lord Jesus, it took suffering. It was no easy way. There was no easy way. And God forbid that we would ever think upon it as being anything other than the most important thing that has ever happened in our lives. Born again into the family of God. Indwelt and empowered by the Spirit of God to be His witness. In a world today that still needs Him. Oh, how this world needs Him today. In that verse, beginning at verse 6, we're reminded that there's none to help. And how often I've heard this, but I am merely a worm. Can't think of anything much lower than a worm. They're so vulnerable. They're under your feet, and you can step on them, and you can... They're so weak, they're not able to put up much of a defense against anything. And here, I am merely a worm. So far less than a human. Many, many individuals today, as human beings, are powerful and can do many things and impress others with what they can do. But here, the Son of God, the only one of His kind, God manifest in flesh, and He likens Himself unto a worm. A worm. You know, man has a way of sometimes gathering for himself credentials that will make him look like a lot more than he really is. Titles and great wealth and all of these things. And here the one that has created all things. The one that is the means of God reconciling the world unto Himself. And He says, I'm a worm. I'm a worm. As I stand in the presence of God, I'm defenseless because I have yielded myself to that divine will. I have said, Thy will be done, not mine. And I have lowered myself to this place of, I'm a worm. Thy will be done, is what our Lord would say. And then we have this progression of thought, the things that have happened and did happen in the life of the Son of God, and there at the cross, and all the suffering that He was subjected to, and there was nobody to help Him. No one could help Him. Shut in with God to carry out the will of God. Ruled out that there'd be any intervention from mankind in any way. Just the other way around. There were those that were close and near to Him that stood and watched with their hearts broken and feeling the hurt and the pain that can accompany seeing someone that you love dearly. Someone that you care so much for, and you see them experiencing something that is just, it's beyond being able to even express how the soul feels, broken, but there's no help. No help for Him. No help for the Son of God. Not one hand reached out to help Him. And God, in that awful, awful time of darkness, would rain down His judgment and wrath upon the Son of God. And all of that physical suffering that sometimes we emphasize that so much, the physical suffering that was inflicted upon Him by man, we've fallen short if that's all we see. If that's all you've ever seen, the visage marred more than any man. All of these things that are so descriptive of, I'm like poured out water. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and so forth. All these things, as horrible as they are, He made payment for our sin. Not one of us in this room will ever experience the holy wrath and judgment of God because someone else did it for us. The reconciliation, the one sacrifice, that one atonement, that one act of reconciling a lost humanity to God, took a personal decision. You be thankful tonight. Yes, I do remember when first the light of heaven broke upon my soul, the Spirit of God convicted me of my sin, and I said, yes, yes, but what is there for me as a poor sinner? God has provided a Savior. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and we have taken Him. I can tell you, beloved, there are many in the world today that haven't yet taken Him. We should be challenged. What He had to say was us and to His own. Go out into the world that you're living in. Make disciples of all men. Make disciples now. Follow us. Make disciples of all men. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, to deliver someone that is in sin's darkness out of that dilemma is a wonderful experience. And I'm challenging our hearts tonight as we look around us and as things develop in the world today. And more, I seem like I hear every day, the Lord is coming. He could come today. Yes, He could come today. Well, if he's coming today, that opportunity, as we've been reminded here recently so much of, there'd be no more opportunity to win lost sinners to the Lord. We had it within and under the authority of God to go out and to be a witness, to be a light shining brightly in these darkened times. As we reflect upon what it cost to bring us into this place and to be reminded that the door is still open, the Lord Jesus Christ is still standing to welcome whosoever will may come. And may we sense the urgency of it and be ready to witness to those that are in the world that are in sin's darkness. Our Father in heaven, we pray tonight that thinking about the wonderful, wonderful salvation that you have provided for us. This salvation is in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that you put our feet upon a pathway of righteousness for your namesake. You've given us authority and power from on high, and we're indwelt by the power of the Spirit of God to be a good witness for you. Help us to reach out and touch some other life and see some soul brought into your wonderful family. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.